On this edition of the podcast, we're going to uncover some critical mistakes many make when choosing a financial advisor. We'll try to cut through the noise and figure out where we go wrong when it comes to finding the right financial advisor here on Plan with a Tax Man.
Look up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, it's the Tax Man. He may not be a superhero, but Tony Morrow has saved many retirement plans with his extreme knowledge of tax planning strategies. It's time for Plan with the Tax Man.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Tony and myself here to talk investing, finance, and retirement, and mistakes made when choosing a financial advisor is the topic of conversation. See if we can go through a couple of things here. I got a pretty long list, but we'll do at least a few of these, Tony, and see how we can highlight some stuff for folks. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hanging in there. Looking forward to a good conversation with you, as always, and getting ourselves into the groove with our podcast here. Everything going well for you?
Everything's going good. You know, tax season is, as we're recording this, now behind us. We have a few clients that they still owe us, you know, some information to get those done, but everybody is kind of taken care of. And of course, around here, now that the sun is shining a little bit, everybody's getting outside more. So it seems like everybody's always a little happier, you know, once summer starts to come around.
Well, I'll tell you what, my neck of the woods, it's rained for like 6 days straight and I'm about over it. Ready for some sunshine. We had a lot of sunshine before it, so I guess you can't complain too much. But let's get into our topic today here. I've got a bunch of these. Like I said, I don't know, we could easily turn this into a two-parter. We'll see how it goes. But let's get started, see if we can run through some mistakes that people make when choosing a financial advisor. First and foremost, not understanding how the advisor gets paid. Look, this doesn't have to be a taboo thing, right? I mean, you guys don't work for free, but certainly as the client or potential client, it's okay for us to ask and understand, how do you get paid?
That's right. And I think you do have to ask that of your advisor. And, you know, when you're choosing an advisor, they should be able to tell you exactly how they're doing that.
Right. Commission-based, fee-based, what, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little, what you need to do is maybe take a step further and ask for an explanation if you don't understand. Most advisors today are either that. They're either commission fee based or asset based, you know, and what we try to do is stay away from the commission based, you know, if at all possible. And what we do is we go kind of go over it in writing with our clients. You know, here's the way we get paid. And they have a choice, basically, at least with us, is they can just pay us a financial planning fee just like they would if I put on my accountant hat and pay for that, or they can and then go take and then invest and manage the assets themselves, or like a lot of advisors, they call it an asset-based fee. It's usually between 0.5% and 1%, and what that is based on the amount you have invested. Say it's $10,000. The advisor then makes, 0.5% to 1% of that as his or her fee for, helping you with your plan. And then, so you both grow together, but it's not based on any types of commissions or anything like that.
Gotcha.
The key, is just really get it out in front of you and make sure you understand it. And ask a lot of questions.
Exactly. And people get a little weird sometimes when asking about that part of things, which I don't really understand in the financial services world, but it does happen. You go to your mechanic, you ask them how much they're going to charge you to fix the car, right? So I don't understand sometimes people get a little bit, trepidatious around, dealing with the how do you get paid question when it comes to financial advisors, but certainly nothing wrong with it. They expect it. So don't make that mistake, folks, and just talk it through and make sure that it's the right type of fee structure for you. All right, number two, what about putting too much trust in big name brands, Tony? Like, I think with the way it works now with so many independent financial advisors like yourself all across the country, it doesn't necessarily mean because you're working with this person's smaller practice that they can't do the same things that a big national brand can do, especially when a lot of times, you guys are, a lot of people are going through Fidelity or whoever as the backing. Is it make a difference? Is it needed anymore to go with the big name brand?
Short answer, no. I would say,
right.
We'll make it easy. And not to knock the big houses and things like that. They certainly have name and brand recognition and things like that. But these days, every financial advisor has access to, depending on how they're licensed and whatnot, access to pretty much every types of investment, whether it be stocks, bonds, mutual funds, all the way across the board. And so what it really comes down to in my mind is the relationship. forget about names and make sure, you have a good relationship and you understand what this advisor is going to do from you, regardless of where you're at. You know, I think the, in the old days, when everybody was, you watch the movies and whatnot, and you see those big wirehouses and things peddling individual investments and things like that. It's not like that anymore. It's about the planning and whatnot, but I don't think it's putting too much trust in, or maybe even a lack thereof. I don't think in any of us are a better option than the other just because of a name, I guess.
Yeah. And I like that too. It's about the relationship, right? You can certainly go to one of the big name places, but they also do have sometimes agendas, right? So they may have quotas that they're asking of their franchises across the nation or whatever. And so sometimes you look like a nail because they've been given a hammer to use, right? So you want to make sure that you're having those conversations as well. And, when you're talking about making mistakes here, as the end user, as the client, if you're sitting there meeting with an advisor, you're going through the initial consultation period to find out if it's the right fit, don't just sit and nod your head and smile if you don't truly understand something. Don't be afraid to look like you don't understand, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's why you went to see them to begin with, because this is not your forte. So ask clarifying questions, right?
You do. You got to ask a lot of questions. And any advisor that is comfortable in what they're doing, we're not afraid to answer questions, because like you say, right, that's what you're paying us for. Otherwise, you go out and, you certainly can do it these days on your own.
And, if the advisor is over talking, right, maybe over explaining or using, terminology that you're not used to, that's part of the feeling out process. Okay. Maybe you decided that this person's not going to be the right fit for you during that consultation period because they're not explaining it to you in a way you can understand. But they also might just be, give them the benefit of the doubt, that they might just be so used to talking in that way that they need you to kind of say, hey, I'm not quite following you. Can you explain that more? And I think an advisor worth their salt is going to be, no problem. Absolutely.
Yes.
Let me back that down and talk to you about it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's something that we've got to be comfortable with as the end user, that, that's why all advisors that I know really do offer that consultation and conversation, that thing complimentary, because it's like, it's a feeling out process. Does my communication style work for you? Does it work? Do you receive it well? Actually, I'll just go to that one next on my list. Covering expectations and the communication style, Tony, I'll jump around on here. I think that's a great one too, right? Because if you meet with someone, you say, okay, hey, what are the expectations for us getting together? How often are we doing this, right? So that you don't feel like later on, well, my guy or gal never calls me, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And any advisor that is worthwhile, in my opinion, is going to lay this out even in the initial consultation.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do. We basically go over, here's what you can expect of us, and here's how we like to communicate. And it's not just, in generalities. We say we're going to meet this many times a year.
Right.
And if you prefer communications in person, that's the way we'll do them. If you want Zoom calls, we'll do them that way, or even phone calls. But we are going to set up an agenda, and here's what we do all the way through the plan and then monitoring the plan.
Mm.
So they understand what they're getting, because obviously we're here to provide value. And if we can't show that we're providing that value for the fee that they're paying, obviously they're not going to be real comfortable with that. But in that respect also, you have to understand too, as a client, that if you obviously advisors are like everybody else. The more work you do, the more you expect to be paid. And so it's different, because you're talking about, clients that their advisor never calls them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there could be a reason for that, because, if you're a client, let's say, and you're putting, for example, $5,000, $6,000 into a Roth IRA every year, which is great, you should have the expectation that your advisor should at least be meeting with you, I would say, annually, maybe a little more. But if you're calling that advisor or expecting a meeting every month, they may tell you, and they should up front, we do, is that that's not this relationship, because of the fact that we meet that many times, there's no way that the advisor can be profitable. And I think that's where some of this, voodoo and nobody wants to disclose fees, because there's that disconnect between the value given and the fee earned. And if you're upfront with clients, and they understand that upfront, I think it just sets the tone for a much better relationship.
Because
you take the same investor that has, say, $2 million in a complex situation. Well, they, well, not only is the advisor going to make more, yes, but they probably need more meetings. But some people, we get it a lot, you know, where it's the young person wants to come in and they want to talk about stocks. And every time they see us, you know, something on TV, they want to call and talk about it. Well, you know, the advisor might say, well, wait a minute, you know, that's great and all, but you know, we can't really you know, add value with that. And, you know, time is of the essence all the time. And so the more we're upfront with people with that, I think the better the relationship is.
And to me, that sounds like maybe a bit more of a broker type relationship than looking for a financial advisor. Financial advisor really helping you kind of build, you know, your wealth, not only building the wealth, but also obviously the preservation side of it, which actually really walks me into this next piece, which is picking someone with the wrong specialty. So part of that communication issue could be the fact that, you know, you're younger and you don't need a financial advisor per se that specializes in retirement or whatever. You need someone who specializes in just wealth accumulation, or maybe you just need a broker. But if you're over 50, you probably don't want a broker anymore. You want someone who's going to be talking to you about the other pieces like Social Security and like legacy and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And it lends itself to, even if you are a young client, it may start out fairly simple, you know, with a Roth IRA.
That's true.
As you, you know, as you grow and as you get older, then it morphs into a different type of relationship, more like you say, on the planning side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there are, it's a question to ask an advisor in the initial consultation is, you know, who basically do you work with most of the time?
That's where I was going to go. I was going to say, Tony, everybody's different. And you being also having the tax practice and the CPA and stuff, I imagine there's types of clients that you guys have that might be good on that front, but they're really not they're not in the right spot, or they don't need to pay you for the financial side of things yet, because it's just not where they're at, right?
No, it's not where they're at in their life. And we get it a lot of times with the young tax clients that they want to bounce ideas off of us, you know, and they're just, they want to say, you know, I want to go out and buy some stocks. I want you to tell me what you think.
Right.
Well, you really don't need us for that. There's so much information out there. We have access to pretty much the same information you do. That probably is not a good fit for us, but maybe it is for somebody else.
True. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with specialty, right? You don't go to the pediatrician anymore when you're 50, right?
Nope. So, absolutely.
Yeah, you go to a different kind of doctor, right? So same kind of thing financially speaking. You know, how important is it to check their credentials? You know, it kind of ties back into the specialty maybe, right? Making sure, are they a fiduciary? Is that what you need, right? Do you need someone who's insurance only or need someone who can do both sides, right? Both, you know, equities and insurance products and things of that nature.
I think so. I think it's important that you have an advisor that can do all of that. I mean, it's not necessary, but it's easier as a client. I think the fiduciary, you know, it's been a big term in the financial planning circles now. I think it's important. I mean, this is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm biased because, you know, I have to be held to that.
Because you are one.
Yeah, because I am one. And really all that means is that, you know, we're supposed to put the client interest before our own, meaning that we should not be biased as to the fact that, well, we're going to do this for you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, because we earn more money on that.
Right.
That's where advisors, where they're not telling people because it might look bad.
Right. And well, so Tony, think about it this way. Tell me if I'm wrong here. So like if you're not a fiduciary, if you're suitability only, right? And you have three options to put client A into, and of those three options, you get a bigger perk as the person handling it, as the suitability, you know, advisor. By putting him in option C, you get a bigger perk, or maybe even a trip or something like that.
Right.
You can do that because technically it's still a suitable investment for the client A, but you also get to kind of reap the benefit on picking the better one. Whereas a fiduciary, that's not the case. You have to tell client A the absolute, you know, this is the reason why this is the one you must be using, regardless of how it benefits you. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, that's it in a nutshell, and which is why most advisors now are leaning towards, you know, fee only or asset-based fee, because then it takes all that off the table.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we're making the same no matter what we do, we're more interested in making sure you have a full plan.
Right.
And we're, you know, you're getting to your goals. Now, there's a couple of things out in the investment world, though, that still aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is insurance. Insurance, there's a few products out there where it's, you know, it's a flat fee, but most of the companies are going to pay whoever sells you that policy some sort of commission. And, you know, we disclose that right up front. We tell them what we're making. And it's a one-time deal, but you should be even asking on those types of products because it does lend itself to, you know, even with somebody with a fiduciary duty, you know, maybe they're not following their fiduciary duty, which they're going to get themselves in real trouble if they don't.
Great point.
But, you know, it lends itself to, well, I'll do this for the client because of that, like, incentive, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point for sure. Well, let me finish it off with this last one here, Tony, which I think maybe is something we wouldn't be thinking about normally, but it might be worth asking when looking for a new advisor or looking for a financial advisor. You know, typically the industry is starting to get younger as far as the advisors out there. They're starting to get younger, which is good because it has been an industry where primarily it was definitely ran, you know, it was older folks, right? You know, advisors have been around a long time, not young and spry like yourself, right? But it's a worthwhile question to say, hey, what is your succession plan? Because if you do meet with an advisor and you do like them and maybe they are a little older, right? What's their plan for stepping away from their own practice? Do they have someone that's going to be taking over? Do they have junior advisors or people that, you know, that's going to continue to serve you should that person retire? Nothing wrong with that question.
No, absolutely not. I think it's one of the most important because you're exactly right, is if, you know, you and a lot of us advisors, especially when you go out into the smaller towns around America, it's just them. And,
yeah,
you know, as they do age, you want to ask that because, like you said, if something happens to them, you know, inadvertently, or they just want to retire, it's going to be a lot easier if you can stay in that firm, at least until you feel like, you know, you want to move if the relationship isn't the same, rather than getting, you know, no advice, no help, kind of not knowing who to call, things like that. So I think every advisor should be able to explain their succession plan to you. I have one in place for myself. I have one junior advisor and I have two support staff. And if something happened to them, then I have a backup, which is an outside advisor, a friend of mine in town,
yep,
that could handle these clients if something happens to me. Because, yeah, you don't know. And most advisors, you know, like you say, they are at least 40 plus-ish. A lot of us are in our 50s and even you know,
older. A lot in their 60s as well, and even some 70s. So, I mean, you've been doing this 30 years, Tony. I mean, you're in your 50s like I am, but you've been doing this a long time. You know, you're a CPA and a CFP and an EA, but it's still important to ask that question, right? You know, even if the advisor you found is 30 years old, you still want to ask because, I mean, life, you know, a bus can come out of nowhere for anybody.
Yes.
Right?
It is, yeah. And even at 30, you know, something could happen. And again, you could be left with nothing. So I think the team approach works better. I think, too, it's weird now that I am in my 50s. The older, my retiree clients look at me as young and, you know, oh, yeah, you're going to be in the business forever. The young people look at me like they'll ask that question. It's like, well, gosh, you know, you're a little old and we want to know, you know, when you kick the bucket or whatever. Who's going to help us? And so it just depends on where you're at. But it is a great question, and I think it should be asked of every advisor.
All right. Well, there you go. So those are some mistakes that you know, you might could make when choosing a financial advisor. But again, the consultations and conversations are just about everybody I know. They're always complimentary. And that's the feeling out process to ask some questions, get your questions asked and answered, not only about your own situation, but about how it's going, your interaction with them is going to go. Very, very important stuff. So make sure that you know, think about that when you sit down to talk with someone. And of course, if you're already working with Tony, well, you don't have to worry about that because you're already working with him. But if you're not considering doing so, make sure you reach out and have a conversation. Get onto the calendar at yourplanningpros.com. That's yourplanningpros.com. Let them know you'd like to have a conversation and a consultation about your retirement journey. Tony, thanks for hanging out with me, my friend. I always appreciate you.
All right, we'll see you on the next one.
Yep, we'll see you on the next one. And don't forget to subscribe to us, Plan with the Tax Man, on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube platforms. You can just type it into the search box of those apps or just go to Tony's website, yourplanningpros.com.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, SM. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency. Investment strategies discussed in this episode may not be suitable for all investors. Please consult with a financial professional.